Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Friday show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar truly is second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, it's time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Manny Machado goes deep at Fenway.
And the 1-1 swing and a high fly ball to deep left field. Back it goes and gone for Machado. Manny hits another one on the Lansdowne Street. It's a three-run shot, and the Orioles have the lead. It is 6-3 Baltimore in the fourth. He crushed it over the Green Monster seats. And he is enjoying the booze as he gets around the bases.
I believe he had four home runs in 4 days there, which was an amazing. He's already an amazing fielder to begin with, but that... A great performance by Manny Machado. When they weren't trying to hit him, he hit them out. All right, let's bring in Jason LaConfora. If I recall correctly, this is the person that broke the story that Bill O'Brien was going from Penn State to the Houston Texans. I believe I have that correct.
Possibly. It's hard to remember him. We're so much in a... second-to-second news cycle these days. Anything over 60 yeah. seconds ago is hard to recall. But definitely was pretty well aware of him being ready to leave not all that long after he got there.
First of all, the second part is thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Sure, no worries.
All right, we just finished the draft, and when you looked at... Let's talk about the deal that was made at 2 by the Bears. What kind of job did John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan do to convince the Bears to make the deal? And then how stunned were you that the Bears did what they did with it?
Well, I don't know why they did it. They didn't have to do it. They could have stayed at 12 and been perfectly fine. There was no reason to do it. And they got bluffed. I mean, look, but what was the reason to give Mike Glennon $18.5 million guaranteed in the first year of that deal? Now, who were they competing with at that price point? Once it got over 10, it wasn't going to be the Jets. It wasn't going to be the Browns. It really wasn't going to be anybody other than the Bears. But look, if one of them is a quarterback, nobody will care. If neither of them is a quarterback, a lot of people will get fired. And the reality now is they're not a good football team. They don't have many weapons on offense. They're not going to get off to a great start. Mike Glennon won't be given that long of a leash. People will be clamoring for Trubisky. You give up all that to trade up one spot to get a player who would have just fallen to you. You're not. How long are you going to sit him? You know, especially behind an unproven guy in Glennon.
The Bills, of course, everything's changed over there. It's not as if I don't know Terry Pegula. Obviously, the arena sitting from about 3 miles from me here is $104 million of his money. Is it Terry Pegula and his staff trying to adjust to the NFL, or was he just that uncomfortable with his staff?
I think the reality is he probably was too loyal for too long, and eventually when he was ready to make the move, it may look to some people like odd timing or why would you do this now? And certainly he could have just done this when he got rid of Rex Ryan. There was numerous people advising him to do it, and going all the way back to his flirtation with Polian, you know, 3-4 years ago, there were people at that time, including Polian, who were not going to keep Doug Whaley around. So, I think Terry Pegula is still trying to find his sea legs as an NFL owner. And the guy who now has his ear above all else is Sean McDermott. And Sean McDermott will have a lot to say about who the next head coach is. I'm sorry, who the next general manager is. And it very likely is going to be someone with some ties to him. And, you know, we'll see what that means for the Bills and their evaluations and their roster moving forward. But certainly there's a new sheriff in town, and it's Sean McDermott.
Interesting. You're on Twitter. You're talking about Jason Allen at Wyoming. It turns ironically when I went out to broadcast the Penn State Michigan game, I had to speak at Eastern Michigan the night before to a Penn State group, and it was at the stadium. And so I saw Wyoming play. I saw them play Eastern Michigan, and you can see certain things in him. What are people leaning, taking you in that direction? What did they tell you about him?
Well, he's 6'5", almost up to 235. He runs a 4.6 40. He has an NFL arm right now. He's only 20 years old. He seems to be a level-headed kid. He comes from the middle of nowhere in an outpost of 8,000 people in the middle of Fresno County. He's a throwback. He's got a little Brett Favre in him. He needs to improve his accuracy. Needs to improve, cut down on his interceptions. But as a 1-year starter last year, as a redshirt sophomore, you know, he led a pretty, you know, so-so program to the championship game in the Mountain West, played in a bowl game, and just looks the part. And people start projecting another year of him, 12, 13 more starts. He would then, in that case, in a pro-style offense now that Coach Bowl was running there, this isn't right. Some look over to the sidelines for a signal, don't make any reads, don't make any adjustments, don't shift any protections, and just getting shotgun 50, 60 times a game. This is a pro-style offense that he's executing. He will likely be seen as much more pro-ready than any of these quarterbacks who just went in the top 12 this year, all via trade. So you start talking to personnel men about Josh Allen, they perk up real quickly. Maybe not the greatest competition in the world, but a lot of people look at him already better than Carson Wentz was when Carson Wentz was 20. And if I recall correctly, the Eagles traded up twice to get Carson Wentz second overall, you know, a year ago. So Josh Allen, barring injury, is going to be in real good shape a year from now.
No, and like I said, it just turned out by complete happenstance, I saw him in person last season. I see everything you're saying. I also obviously saw Sam Darnold in person, and there is a difference between the two. That doesn't mean if somebody ends up with Allen, they'll get a winner, but there is a difference between the two.
Well, you got to understand, this kid had only played 17 snaps of college football before. I mean, this is a kid who nobody wanted out of high school, who played right. 1 year of low-level junior college football in California, wins the job in 2015, plays 17 snaps, breaks his collarbone. So, you know, this is a kid who was incredibly green to begin with. And if he can build on the body of work last year and he stays on that trajectory, you know, he's going to have a lot of excited people this time next year to draft him.
Obviously, in this area, a lot of people are interested in what the Philadelphia Eagles and the Steelers did. I'll start with the Eagles. Jason, what did you think of what the Eagles did with their draft?
I mean, I think that they were smart. I mean, the kid, Barnett, was highly productive in the SEC. Not the greatest optics and metrics in the world. He's not going to wow you in the weight room. He's not a combine warrior. But he played, you know, in a great football conference week in, week out, and more than held his own, and he's got some pass rush. So that didn't surprise me. I had mocked him going there. I thought they would break his fall, and so much as it was a fall, and they did. You know, they dressed the secondary a little bit. I think by and large, you know, given the fact, I mean, really what saved their draft, I mean, was Sam Bradford. I mean,
yeah,
think of what the draft would have looked like if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't get hurt. You know, and you're right. Down a 1 and a 4. But they're able to turn Sam Bradford into 2 picks, and Sam Bradford was a rental for them anyway. I mean, he was only going to be there 1 more year in all likelihood anyway. To turn him into, you know, one potential building block in Barnett and maybe a future starter in the 4th round, it salvaged their draft, one that otherwise would have been gutted by the 2 trades up for Wentz. So I think you have to applaud what they did.
Now let's flip to the western part of the state. What did you think of what the Steelers did?
You know what? in the first round, I didn't have him projected there. I mean, we're talking the very end of the first round, and anything's possible. I thought they'd go pass rush. I thought maybe in the first or second round they'd gamble on Tim Williams out of Alabama, who was troubled but is incredibly productive, and someone who I was told Mike Tomlin was pretty comfortable with, thinking we can handle this kid given our infrastructure, given our locker room, given our leadership. You know, so we'll see how that turns out. They really liked the wide receiver out of USC, and when Gary and Conley got in trouble, you know, and, well, I say in trouble, when allegations were posed against him, allegations that have come to nothing at this point, but nonetheless allegations, when Jabril Peppers had a diluted sample, when Reuben Foster had a diluted sample, and guys started falling, the Steelers felt like Juju was going to be one of the players who got bumped into the first round. So for them to be able to get him where they got him in the second round, and look, they evaluate wide receivers better than anybody. Go back to Mike Wallace and look what they've done from the second through the fifth round with wide receivers. You know, it's pretty phenomenal. So I'm going to defer to them on that one. And if that kid does contribute and he replaces Marcus Wheaton and Martavis Bryant stays out of trouble, then, you know, that offense maybe is what everybody thought it would be. And really is super productive. And look, if Watt is a bookend over time to Bud Dupree, and they've got Harrison there one more year's insurance, I think the Steelers are the class of the AFC North.
Jason, now circle back to Bill O'Brien. They end up trading up, Rick Smith does, to get to the 12 spot. When they do, they select Deshaun Watson. What did you think of that pick?
I mean, look, desperate times call for desperate measures. You're sitting there with what you think is a Super Bowl roster. Apart from the quarterback position, you see the Bears panic and move up one spot for Trubisky. The kid I think who I would gamble on of the three would have been Mahomes. So then you see Andy Reid, a quarterback guru, who has a quarterback on his roster, who I'm not the biggest Alex Smith guy in the world, but you could do worse than him, and he makes that power move to go up and get Mahomes. There's no way you're going to just sit there if you're Houston and let Arizona perhaps take Deshaun Watson at 13, and now you're talking about really reaching for Kaiser or whatever. So it was a desperate move. They had to eventually draft a quarterback there. You know, since Bill O'Brien got there, it's been Fitzpatrick and Hoyer and Mallett and Savage, you know, and Schaub. It's like one system guy after the other. Mid-round draft pick or, you know, buy low free agent or, you know, trade for nothing. And eventually you were going to have to invest some real assets in the quarterback position. I think Watson could have done real well sitting for a year. I don't see how that happens now. But if they run the ball well enough and they play their top, you know, three defense, they play in what still, it's an up-and-coming division, but still, I can't vouch for it. I mean, you're not going to see multiple playoff teams come out of the AFC South yet. So they could be sitting in an okay spot. I think there's going to be a lot of projections, though. As much as you love the athleticism and Watson's a winner, what he was asked to do at college is a far cry from what Bill O'Brien expects out of his quarterback.
How different is it? Because, look, more and more schools, look, it's the job of the college coach to win with his players and to win as many games as possible. So they go with whatever system they think works. How difficult, Jason, has this made NFL personnel people evaluate quarterbacks compared to years gone by?
Well, there's trepidation, but what's helped them out is the fact that you can't get Jamarcus Russell anymore. I mean, the worst case is if Jake Locker retires in 3 years, you've paid him $15 million. You know, basically he's averaged $5 million a year. Even as a top 10, top 11 pick under this new CBA, he hasn't crushed your cap. He won't crush it moving forward, and he hasn't crushed your cash. You could still spend. You could still go pay another quarterback 12 or 15 a year. I mean, look at the Patriots not trading Garoppolo. It tells you how flexible that these kids on their CBA make your quarterback room. So I think it's been offset by the lack of but it's not a financial gamble anymore. You're just gambling the picks. You're not gambling the money. You don't have Matt Stafford coming into the league, $60 million guaranteed. That's over. So, you know, these guys are pretty much year to year. If you want to pick up the fifth-year option, you can. If you don't, you don't have to when you're talking first-round quarterback. So you're going to continue to see them drafted where they are. There's just supply never meets demand. And if you find that Russell Wilson, if you find that Dak Prescott, you know, even an Andy Dalton, I mean, you can get decent production at a low rate, and it allows you to be much more flexible with how you build your team.
One final question, Jason. I'll let you go. Thanks so much for the time. And that is, it's as follows. You know, you've done this for a while. You pour out a lot of information every week. How much and where has the job changed in this ever-changing media world over the last 10 years for you?
God, social media has changed everything. It's not, you know, there's no longer a news cycle. It's just a constant continuum. And the ability to distribute information in nanoseconds to, you know, basically get the word out all over the world is certainly a wild, wild west from where I came up with in newspapers where, you know, you hoped you had a scoop that you filed late at night, and when everybody wakes up in the morning, you're the only one who has it. I mean, that's a virtual impossibility now, because anything of any significance, you're going to have to report as soon as you're comfortable reporting it, by and large, just because it's so competitive and everyone has these forums available to them to immediately disseminate information. It's cool in a lot of ways, but it's also a slippery slope that you know, has sent journalism to off the cliff a few times.
Well, we're going to go to a radiothon next to put together a fundraiser for some Lonzo Ball sneakers. So that's.
Oh yeah, good luck with that. I'll pass.
Oh yeah, I don't think we're going to get there. Jason, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. You do great work, and we appreciate the time that you shared some of it with us today.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports. He is one of the best at getting information and getting the information out to you. Another great guest on the show. All right, coming up, my brother's on the show. Another great information outlet as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Two new rules in college football this year. One I'm okay with, and the other one I just sit back and say, no, that's the wrong direction to go. The one that I agree with is the leaping on points and field goals. Again, the Marcus Allen play does not fall into that category. Allen just comes in and virtually goes straight up and blocks the kick. So that would not have been a penalty. I know some people think it would have been a penalty, but you are wrong. It would not be a penalty. Next, the one I don't agree with is the one where they've changed the definition of the horse collar. It is now a penalty if, say, Sean's running and I go and I grab the nameplate on the back that says carry. If I grab the nameplate, not hooking my hand inside the jersey to pull him down, which is a true horse collar, but if I grab the nameplate, that's a penalty. If I drag you down from behind, I mean, I can grab the nameplate just on a regular tackle or anything like that. But if you grab the nameplate from behind, which then creates that same feel and looks like a horse collar, they say it has the same effect in terms of potential injury. They say now that's a penalty. So they've taken the horse collar from inside the neck, and they've allowed latitude down to the nameplate area, where if you grab that from behind and you yank somebody down, that is a penalty. And that would be called a horse collar as well. That has all the potential in the world to be messed up on a game-by-game basis, to me. I know everything is based on safety. I know it is. And I understand that. How many times have we seen a horse collar called where they've reached out and they've grabbed the shoulder pad from the side and pulled the guy down. Really?
So now would that be a reviewable call to try to differentiate between the two?
I'm not sure.
We got to make sure that's a true horse collar.
Yeah, but if you grab the nameplate, they're giving latitude where you grab the nameplate, it's a horse collar. It's a penalty. You don't have to hook your hand inside the jersey to do it, or, you know, inside the shirt to grab him and haul him down. I don't know. I know they're making the game safer. But does this make the game... I don't know if this makes the game safer or not. Yeah, you know, most of these plays by these guys on defense, they're reaction plays. They're just reacting. They're not deliberately trying to hurt anybody. I mean, when's the last time you saw a targeting penalty in college or the NFL where you felt like the guy was actually, quote, targeting the guy? Like he was just trying to hurt him. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't see any of that stuff. I see a lot of incidental stuff called targeting. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. Corey and the gang doing a great job. And yes, all together now, the pickle bar is second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels. And Corey at the golf course on Wednesday, we had our own personalized pickle bar, Sean. It was amazing.
That rocked on all levels.
Oh, it did. No, the entire experience did. Yeah, we had a great day on Wednesday.
Yeah, we just got text. From Corey a little while ago. Said thanks for the kind words. And so they're like, no, thank you.
You kidding me?
That's right.
That's the best time we've ever had out there. Yeah, and we found most of the suits golf balls. I mean, so it was a really good day. I mean, all the way through. Craig was great. Chief was great. You know, Kev was great. We had a good time. Great time. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The sports bozo of the day. This one's pretty obvious. $495 for a pair of sneakers? Really? LeVar Ball unveiled the Big Baller brand for his son Lonzo Ball, $495, $220 for a pair of sandals, and if you're a size 14 or higher, it's $695 a pair of shoes.
You knew I wore size 14s, right?
This is just...
Mm.
Well, I'm all for anybody getting whatever they can. Whatever you can get, great. But I don't think I have $495 worth of clothing in my closet. Now, maybe it's valued at that, but I didn't pay that. All right. Let's bring in my brother, who is the family fashion plate.
No. I haven't changed my clothes in 3 weeks.
Whoa!
That's why it's radio.
Oop, I got syrup on the front of it. Oh, inside out tomorrow. No. Boy, that kid better score 40 points a night. You know? The father's a freaking idiot.
Well, I mean, did you see now Dick Vitale, of all people, did you see his tweet?
No.
He said, after watching the NCAA tournament and De'Aaron Fox scoring 39, you better teach your son how to play defense. Isaiah Thomas, Stephen Curry, and John Wall are going to light him up for 50 a night.
Absolutely. The game is way faster. That kid for Kentucky ate him up. He's got a long way to go. I mean, my God, he's good, but he's not great by any means. You know, he's good on a level, but can he make the next step? He himself has no idea if he can make the next step. That's just crazy stuff. I don't know. It never works. Your parents should not get involved in that stuff. And he's going to get past... Just role play. If you were general manager, president, head coach, and you're in the draft, do you really want to deal with his father?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I don't.
The guy's already cost him millions. No one's going to buy his freaking shoe. I wouldn't buy a shoelace from him. I mean, that's just crazy stuff. He's ruining his son. And he's going to have bigger issues because one of the kids, I guess, is just an average player. But he's going to go to UCLA, and he's going to take up a roster spot. Or is it Donovan? Who's the coach at UCLA?
Steve Alford.
Steve Alford's going to have to pay for it. Steve Alford's going to lose his job over this guy. This guy is going to be the biggest pain in the neck. There's people in prison who do less than this guy does. And I'm serious, you know. You smoke a couple joints and you go to jail. This guy's a freaking idiot. He belongs in prison. That's just my opinion.
I'll say this. I'm all for anybody trying to get whatever they can in life.
Sure.
Legally. Yeah, legally. So, I mean, if he wants to price this at $495... You have to be smart enough to know what the market is. It's my gut feeling he's massively misjudged the market. Now, we may find out a year from now that he's a genius and he completely hit the market spot on. But I say that's an absolute long shot. I cannot picture that because Lonzo Ball... is, first of all, he's really good. So let's start with that.
He's really good on that level. He has not been tested. When he got tested against somebody as good as him, he failed.
I think that in the NBA, he's going to be a very good player. I think he's Jason Kidd in a lot of ways with a little bit better shot from the outside. But he's going to go to a team where there's a very good chance, because it's the NBA, that he's going to disappear into the witness protection program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Celtics are going to have a very high pick in this thing.
They won't.
Because they have the Nets pick. Well, they've got Isaiah Thomas. They're not going to pick this kid.
No.
I mean, who'd you rather have? Isaiah Thomas, who scored 53 the other night? Or Lonzo Ball, who has scored zero in his NBA career?
They don't want to rock the boat, and they don't want that big mouth there. That will never go in Boston. No way.
Well, and it won't go for Brad Stevens. And Brad Stevens proves to me every single year what a really great coach he is. He's really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
Danny Ainge is going to put up with that crap?
No way. No way.
No. The best place for him to go where he would excel, and he won't go because it's Cleveland. He needs to get LeBron James, and LeBron James will kick the crap out of him, and the father will just disappear.
The odd thing about Lonzo Ball, now, I've never once been around him. As you know, I've been around a lot of players, but I've never been around him. Is that his teammates like him. Everything you read is his teammates like him. And that he plays really, really good team basketball. And he also has an influence where then other players start to then play very good team basketball. So that part, he seems to handle the locker room well from what you read. Seems to, the coaching staff likes him a lot. His teammates like him a lot. So when it comes to him personally, it doesn't seem like there's an issue. It's the father that's the issue.
And he gets in the way. I mean, at some point, the kid's got to tell the father to go pound sand. You know, just leave me alone. You're costing me a fortune. He lied. Nike, all three big companies told him to take a hike. He's costing the kid a fortune. he thinks he's doing the kid well. This isn't about the kid. This is about the father and how much money he's going to make off of his kid. That's pathetic.
LeVar Ball says the Prada and Gucci each set the price on their shoes. He says he can set his where he wants as well.
And no one will buy them.
Right.
Well, mommy, I want a pair of these. That'll be $600. Yeah, right. Okay. It's not happening.
Well, that's if he has a size 14.
Anyway. Hey, how's Buchholz doing?
Clay Buchholz out for the year.
What happened? How'd I miss that?
It happened within the last 2 weeks, right, Sean? With the Phillies. Developed arm trouble. He never got going with them this year. And I think they shut him down. And he offered an apology. He's going to need surgery. It's going to be, here it is right here, a torn flexor tendon in the right forearm.
Wow. That's awesome.
He's 32 years old now.
That kid had the most potential. He's got four put-out pitches. Not many pitchers have that, but he's a head case. Mm-hmm. Once he starts, his delivery gets slower and slower and slower, he's in trouble. But he's got four strikeout pitches, which very few guys have. He can get you with anyone, and he'll go on streaks and be 14-0. And then he gets hurt. Something happens to him. He's not a big guy, you know. But, boy, that's a shame.
He felt bad. I mean, he went right to the general manager and apologized last week. He wants to give it a shot in September, but it could be.
The guy can flat-out pitch. He's never hit his potential. I mean, the first game he pitched for the Red Sox was a no-hitter. You know,
against the Orioles.
Yeah, he's got four strikeout pitches. He can get you with any one of them, and when he's on, he's unhittable. That's a shame because he's a good guy. He's a good guy in the community. He was good with the Red Sox. What a mess in Boston, huh? Jeez,
it's a real mess, without question. The Machado thing, okay, the Red Sox are all wrong on that. They're all wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, number one, I saw the play. It's not a great play, but it's not a deliberate play. It's not a deliberate play. So back off. Just play ball. I mean, if you really want to get even with them, strike them out.
Yeah.
I am so against the, quote, unwritten rules of baseball. We'll police ourselves. You're going to police yourself with a 90 by throwing a spheroid 95 miles per hour at somebody? I don't care if you hit them in the butt, but it's 95 miles an hour. You're throwing an object 95 miles per hour at somebody, and that's policing your game? It's not policing your game. Strike them out.
it made the whole thing a mess for the Red Sox. I'm watching TV. I'm watching Pedroia. It's not me. It's them. It's like, oh my God, you're throwing your team under the bus, which doesn't bode well for anybody. Then they have this thing with Jones, Adam Jones. That's a mess. The club totally botched that up.
They did.
No, because the racism part, yes, it still exists. There's no question.
Right.
But I mean, I've been in that situation where somebody was yelling stuff, and I stepped in, you know, and he didn't yell anymore. But
And that's what happened in Fenway last night. A guy turned in somebody.
Oh, yeah, but he was set up that way. And then the Red Sox turned it into, oh, see how wonderful we are. And, you know, it's like, come on, will you just stop? There is racism, and people are going to yell stuff. The bottom line to me is Adam Jones heard something, and he heard it a couple times because he kept looking over his shoulder.
Exactly.
He's about 30 yards from the bleachers, would you say? He's in center field.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. That's 90. That's 90 feet, so yeah.
Yeah, so with all the fans sitting out there, and people who were sitting by the guy who threw the peanuts at him, they called the radio station. Wouldn't you think one person would call and say, I heard the guy yelling the stuff? Not one station in Boston took a phone call. And I'm not saying Adam Jones didn't think somebody said something. I'm not saying Adam Jones did anything wrong at all. I'm just saying put the thing to bed and just let it be what it is. They're still talking about it in Boston. They're going to talk about it for 3 weeks.
Well, they're going to talk about it for a while. Yeah, right, they'll talk about it for 3 weeks because they need topics. Yes.
Yeah, they're beating it to death, and you're like, yeah, there's racism. I got F-bombed yesterday. I'm leaving a parking lot I've never been in, and I went out where I had two wrong-way signs, and I pull out and said, oh, no, I'm going the wrong way. This guy pulls up next to me and starts calling me every name in the book. You can't read. I said, I've never been in the parking lot. He said, then go back to where the bleep you came from. I'm like, holy crap. You know, and this is, it happens daily. And you just can't, it doesn't mean the whole city of Boston is racist. It doesn't,
but of course not.
The more they talk about it.
This is how I look at it, Kev.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Does racism exist? Yes. But the amount of racism out there now, it's now on an individual basis. You know, you've got maybe pockets and groups here and there, but that's what it is pockets and groups. It's not the population at large.
No,
right? And
not
to label
at all.
An entire population.
We had a black president. Good Lord. He won the popular vote. Right. He won the electoral vote. It's not what it used to be, and they keep dragging it back into that. And that's
of course they do, because it gets people going. And the population at large in this country is not racist. It's not, because we all live our life. We all know. I mean, we know. I mean, Sean's not. You're not. I'm not. Well, I mean, not in the least. It's 180 of that. Well, a lot of people that we're around feel exactly the same way as we do. So it's just our job to talk about it and silence those who wish to be racist. That's our, you know, that's what we can do. We can silence them in numbers. Of course, yep, there will be. There will be. You're right.
There will always be racist people. There will always be jerks. You're not going to eliminate it. We're a population, and there's always going to be one or two or three or four or five bad eggs that ruin it for everyone else, but you just can't dwell on it. You got to accept it at that and move on. They won't move. Boston media is insane. They bring their own problems. They're going all the way back to Bill Russell. You know, okay. Well, there was racism back then, and it was bad.
It was also 60 years ago.
Yes. They're just, it's a crazy city. They just, and the team sucks. Sorry.
Yeah, they're not really that great. The teams aren't really that great.
No, they can't get past Big Poppy. So yeah, they can't past it. They got no boom boom in their lineup. But the Yankees do.
Nope.
Look out for the Yankees.
Ooh. They've got a lot of boom boom in that lineup. He's really good, and they're getting Gary Sanchez back tonight.
Yes, the people don't realize they haven't had him all year. Because they're all paying attention to Judge and the other kids. That kid, I never thought I'd say this. They replaced Derek Jeter with this kid Judge. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a mammoth human being. I mean, 6'8", 265, and he is chiseled, and he can hit a baseball 500 feet. He made a catch the other day. He laid out. He covered like 25 feet. Laid out in the air, but he's so
absolutely
long. And he caught the ball. The kid is good. The Yankees are the real deal if they get the pitching.
No, he is. He is really, really good.
He's a good kid. You know,
I know everybody likes him there. No.
Yeah, there's nothing bad about him. He's good off the field. Yep. He's clean cut. And, man, he can flat out play the game of baseball.
We never did see him. And we never did see him here because he did not play in the New York Penn League. They skipped him. They took him from Tampa. They sent him to Charleston. They sent him from Tampa to Charleston. They skipped him right up to Trenton and Scranton-Wilkes-Barre. They never sent him to the single A here. So I never saw him.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of these guys I've seen.
What?
I have not seen him. What's
guess
that?
What?
What?
Guess what's happening to me. I hope she's listening. I'm getting married, man.
Well, great. Congratulations. When?
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks?
I'm pregnant. No.
Congratulations on that. That's quite a feat.
No, we're just going to do a JP thing, quick thing. So.
Wow.
I wanted her to go to the wedding out in Pennsylvania, so we got to be married to do that. So we're doing it.
You do?
Well done.
I didn't realize that was a requirement. They ask you that question now when you cross back into Pennsylvania. Am I missing something?
I know. I think I am.
Well, I had to tell somebody, so there you go. Get married.
Well, that's pretty big news. I would have thought you would have let off with that. It's big news.
Well,
no, it's,
this is my thing, and you got to promise me you'll do this, or you're grounded, okay? I didn't want to tell you about it because it's Megan's wedding. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want it to be, and they got married too. I don't want that at all. But I still felt like I wanted to tell you about it. Just a mental thing I had to do, you know. But, I'm really happy I finally met the woman of my dreams. So,
great.
And
As you know how much I already really like her to begin with. So she's terrific.
No, she's a wonderful human being. So,
yes, she is.
Yeah,
yes,
they don't come better than her. So.
I know she said something about I can't stand my future brother-in-law, but that's okay. I'll bypass that.
She did say that. I said I can't change my family. No.
Well, that's a perfect way to head into the weekend.
So, yep, we're getting hit.
All right.
So.
Well, congratulations.
Yes. Way to go.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, no. Two very lucky people. I'm thrilled you found each other at this stage of life.
Yeah. Early.
Yeah, I mean.
I feel young.
Now Sean and I have to come up with a gift.
No gifts, man. I don't need a gift. Yeah, re-gift the candlesticks.
Maybe this is, if there's
look,
something Megan can't
the
use.
Holder, two hearts, one flame. Oops. She can't
I don't know where I got this from, but I'd like to give it.
He won't even supply the candle. Let's go buy my own candle. So.
That's where Sean comes in. He'll provide the candle.
Right.
Yeah.
I got plenty. Has she ever heard you say two hearts, one flame? I mean, you could reel that off right before you say I do, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, well, she's got two of them. So she's got two candle holders. I sold four this week.
Of course you did. This is your outlet to sales.
They're going to be biggest thing ever. You wait and see. I'll be on QVC dealing them. Hi, Jane.
Sue Runyon and I used to work together. She's at QVC.
Oh, really?
She's now at HSN. She moved down to Florida.
I'm not surprised, but she was Sue was one of the nicest people, and I run into her from time to time. We still have a lot of laughs.
Do you remember Karen
weekend.
Rossi?
Yeah.
Remember Karen Rossi?
Yeah.
See, she was on QVC twice selling stuff.
There you go. Now it's the Kevin Jones Show, QVC.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.